B-Pod Studios.
Here's the deal, folks. First off, good morning. My name's Mark. That's Bob. It's Jamie. Pat Egan's running around. We got DJ Bon Bon, Twitch Ryan, push the buttons, all that jazz for Twitch audience and all that. When somebody asks me to do a job, Bob, I go out there and I do that job. If someone says, hey, keep it up, or hey, do the job, or hey, can you do this for me? Guess what? I do it. You know why? Because I'm an honorable man. That's how it works.
That's the way we were raised.
Exactly.
Honest days pay for an honest day's work.
It's not even old school. Don't even give me that. That should be always school. Should be current school, old school, new school. It says Charlie
Future school.
As Charlie Manuel would say, it ain't old school, it's good school.
Right.
So when the all-star catcher, best catcher in baseball, best player on your squad right now, named JT Real Muto, says, keep it up, guys. Guess what we gonna do? We gonna keep it up. Because he hears all of it. And our own Rob Motti, who was wearing sleeves while he was asking this question yesterday.
Can you confirm that?
I can confirm. Okay. I saw the video. He was wearing sleeves. Rob Motti himself.
Well, are you making fun of Rob Motti for wearing sleeves?
No, I just feel like sometimes people think he doesn't wear sleeves. And I'm just letting people know.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a heat-related type of thing.
No, it was nice last night. It was pleasant.
Okay.
Pleasant. And he's asking a question to JT Realmuto, and he says to him, do you hear all the people pleading for you to be re-signed or signed or whatever? And JT Realmuto says, it's hard not to hear it. It's hard. No, you can't ignore it. And all I got to really say is to keep it up, fellas. Keep it up, people. Keep it up. That's all he says. All right? We'll let you hear the full thing a little bit later. But when someone says to you, hey, keep it up, I'm going to go ahead and keep that up.
I think we should. I think it's incumbent upon us.
Here's the hot take of the day. JT Realmuto, really good at baseball. And JT Realmuto needs to be here for as long as humanly possible. I know other people will look at the bullpen and say, oh, why did you spend the money on catcher? No, I'm going to go ahead. I want the Phillies to spend money on catcher, especially when you have the best one, especially when he's been your best player so far this season, especially when he's been a pretty damn good clubhouse guy as well. Yeah, I think I want to keep him around for as long as humanly possible. Two separate two-run home runs yesterday, belting both of them, and also a fine job behind the plate. Yeah, I want that guy in a Phillies uniform for as long as humanly possible. And it still is amazing to me that every time you watch JT Realmuto, oh, by the way, we're going to get to the rest of the team in a second because, God, they're terrible. But anyway, when you look at JT Realmuto, it's hard for me to imagine sitting in a room with his agent, sitting in a room with him, sitting in a room with Matt Klentak and maybe John Middleton, some other scouts maybe, and an arbiter. I don't know how it works. But it's hard for me to imagine them sitting in a room and be like, no, you're not worth $2.5 million. You can get out of here with that request, sir. JT's people is like, you know, he's going to carry you guys for as long as possible, right? No, the heck with that. He's not worth. Actually, it was $2.4 million that they wouldn't give him. And still, it's wild to me that they just want to get a deal done anyway. Say, you know what? The heck with arbitration. JT, we love you. JT, we already gave up way too much to say goodbye to you this early. Here's the deal. You're signed. 5-6 years, $23 million per. Welcome to Philadelphia for the long term, not just for a one-year rental and then a 60-game season. Just make everybody's worries go away, because then that's before a Mookie Betts deal gets signed. That's before a pandemic hits, and we don't have to worry about whether or not JT Realmuto is actually going to get signed long term by the Phillies. So, JT, I hear you. We hear you. Yes, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and keep it up, because when we have someone like you in our city, we're going to not only value you, but we're also going to champion the cause to keep you here. How is he not signed already, Bob?
No idea. And I saw something for the first time I've ever seen in baseball by JT Realmuto last night. So, I don't know. Did you his whole at-bat when he hit his second home run, the choke-up was awesome.
Yeah.
But that was such a good at-bat. He was so and you're watching and you get that feeling like you used to get it back in the day with, you know, with a Ryan Howard or whatever. You just knew something good was going to happen. Well, he hits the ball to right field. Great at bat. Gets the home run. Touches second base. The camera zooms in on him. He literally blinked during one of his steps, and both of his eyes had dollar signs in them. And it was like, Klentak, you dope.
When you
there's
have
money just flying in the wind. Middleton's money is just flying in the wind because of JT Realmuto, because every time he hits another home run, the price goes up.
When you see another player like Bryce Harper so openly mock management, which is what he does. I mean, you could say it's cool and it's awesome, whatever.
He did the check signing thing waiting for him to cross home plate after his home run last night.
Exactly what I'm referencing.
Yeah, you know what I'm, I've never seen anything like that.
Well, he's done that before. That's the second time he's done that.
That's incredible.
And this is after they were playing inter-squad games when spring training 2.0 had just started. And JT Realmuto is hitting home runs in inter-squad games. And Bryce Harper is in the dugout yelling, sign him. And you can hear that clearly. Look, their backs are against the wall. If it's a luxury tax issue, I mean, the money doesn't go into effect till next year anyway. You got to sign this guy. You got to get this done. Why would you want the negative attention that you're getting right now? For two reasons. One, your bullpen's god awful. And the other is you're not rewarding your best player. I mean, that's what he has been to this point this season.
Oh my God.
And that's what he's been, you know, for the foreseeable. That's what he'll be for the foreseeable future.
Between JT and Bryce, they've accounted for 38% of the team's RBIs.
It's insane.
Case closed. Pay me.
Yeah.
So I saw Matt Breen tweet that out. And I also saw Matt Breen bring that up to Joe Girardi last night during his press conference. And Joe acknowledged how valuable those two guys have been. And there's really nothing else he could say about it. But think about this. Yeah, you talk about close to 40% of those guys signed, or excuse me, those guys, the offense they're bringing in, only half of them are signed. 38% of production, only 50% of Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto are signed long term. Just get it done.
Like, I don't understand it. Yeah, a little bit.
And when it came out last week that they, I think it was JT said, you know, his agent hasn't even been engaged in contract talks, I went, why?
I don't know.
Why? Like, I don't want to hear, well, it's, you know, it's a season, it's a distraction to the player. No, it's not, because that's why they hire an agent. The agent knows what the player wants, and the agent goes and gets it. It's pretty simple. So yeah, it's not a distraction to JT Realmuto. That's between Matt Klentak and an agent. And, get it done.
Yeah, like, what are you expecting? Realmuto's going to go through the season and not even think about it? He's got fans yelling it as he's rounding the bases from outside that he hears and he smiles at. He's got his teammate signing checks after he crosses home plate. Like, what is your reasoning here? Please do not bring up distraction, because it's already way more of a distraction than it ever should have been.
Absolutely. And is it weird that when I watched all the NFL news unfold yesterday, I got more pissed about JT Realmuto not being signed? Like, it's not even baseball, but it's still professional sports during a pandemic, and these other guys are signing long-term contracts. Meanwhile, I'm looking at JT Realmuto, and in his own sport, like I referenced earlier, Mookie Betts signs a long-term deal, and I'm looking at JT, and I'm like, how is this not getting done? And I hear Matt Klentak, after the Mookie Betts deal, come out and say, oh, well, they obviously got creative. Okay, Matt, if that's what it takes, let's get creative. Yeah. All right, why are you saying that
like it's a bad thing?
Yeah, exactly. Why is that a negative again? That you can't re-sign this guy when other teams are actually pulling off deals like this? You keep him in town.
Matt sounds like he never cheated in school. Like somebody else is doing something well, cheat off of him. Yeah. You saw what the model is.
He's an honorable Dartmouth product. Uh-huh. There's no way he cheated on anything. I just don't get it. Now, okay, it's in praise of JT Realmuto, but it's obviously a negative look at the rest of the team and management, obviously. But that's optimistic, to love a player as much as we love JT Realmuto. The negative side of things is how the Phillies played overall yesterday. Maybe one more positive thing. Alec Bohm, a double in his first big league at bat. First inning, playing third base, turned a double play, made a sharp play at third base. Good stuff. Fifth inning, how did he not get that ball at third base? Fifth inning, how did he not help out?
Caught him by surprise.
I guess it did. And I'll say this. Jake Arrieta actually helped him out a little bit yesterday in saying that, maybe it was slick grass. Maybe the ball was hit a little too sharp for him to handle. And apparently that was the case. Led to a big inning, obviously, for the Orioles. And the Phillies went on to lose. Bullpen came in and still allowed more runs. We saw Brogdon come in for the first time. First pitch he threw was a home. Good God, man. It can only get better.
He had a good tweet about that.
Oh, the Goodfellas?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Hey, welcome.
Exactly. Yeah, we all know the line. If you can't,
I didn't see that. That's good.
If you can't hear that gif, there's just something wrong with you.
Hey, somebody popped in. Yeah.
Exactly. But like, this team just can't get help outside of Harper, who did not have a good night last night, but outside of JT Realmuto and Harper, they're grasping at straws right now. And Alec Bohm, I'm hoping, is a positive impact. We called for Spencer Howard to get called up. He was called up. And I know we weren't alone in that, right? We've called for other bullpen help. They made bullpen adjustments, at least. They're trying some different things here. With Pivetta going down and Brogdon coming up, didn't work so well last night, but at least they're trying something different. And then we also called for Alec Bohm to come up. We called for Scott Kingery to get a break. They said yesterday, Matt Klemtak did address the media yesterday and said that Scott Kingery is still viewed as an everyday player, and he should. I don't think the guy's got any strength in his body right now. I mean, I look at him, and I think he's still recovering from COVID, and we all know that players and people, humans in general, all respond differently to it. So I'm going to go ahead and just blame, you know, that pandemic that he caught
before the
season.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and be patient with Scott Kingery.
Yeah, so, but we don't have to be patient at the major league level. And that's not against Scott.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like, it's a 60-game season. Patience is not an option.
Yeah, that's not a thing. It's already, like I said, it's August. It's August.
Yeah.
Even though the season just started a couple of weeks ago.
Scott, we love you.
Yeah.
Lehigh, get as healthy as you can. Play and get your swing back and let us know when you're ready.
And Segura was making plays for you yesterday at second base.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Alec Bohm playing third base for the foreseeable future. When Scott Kingery gets his stuff back, hopefully he can play a little third, a little second, maybe a little short. Center field, they said yesterday to play some more center field. So there's a lot of things you could do here with this Phillies lineup when it comes to giving Scott Kingery a break and also giving other players an opportunity to show what they can do. And the perfect example of that is Alec Bohm. And I thought he was very aggressive at the plate yesterday. He swung at the first pitch he saw at the major league level. Good on him. And then after that, he was still aggressive. He gave a couple of balls, a ride to the outfield yesterday.
Yeah, one to right field I thought was going to carry a little bit more than it did. But yeah.
We got plenty to talk about as far as the Phillies go. We will get into some conversation today about the 76ers. As we did highlight yesterday, they got the Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. That's going to get underway on Monday, I believe it is.
Yes.
They're going to get things started there. So we have a full weekend of looking forward to Monday to see how they handle all that. There has been some interesting things written about Al Horford over this year. Early on, it was how the Boston Celtics were just like, yeah, good riddance. See you later, dude. And then most recently, Pablo Torres of ESPN basically said that Al Horford in Philadelphia is useless. That was the word that was used to describe Al Horford.
That seems
useless.
It's a little extreme.
A little extreme.
For his
price tag, useless. Sure.
I will say a hot take.
Yeah, that's hot.
I'm going to label that a piping hot take because here's what it ignores. When it comes to Ben Simmons being in this lineup with Al Horford, I know a lot of people were like, hey, how's this going to work when it comes to Joel Embiid and Al Horford? That works fine. I have no issue with that whatsoever. The bigger issue I have is when you have Ben Simmons on the floor at the same time. Now, I am in no way saying, hey, bench Ben to make Al Horford a better player. However, with Ben being out of the lineup with an injury again, Al Horford has an opportunity here to show that he is not washed up as a big man in the NBA. This is the perfect opportunity for him to do that. And when you saw Ben Simmons out of the lineup prior to the shutdown with the nerve impingement in his back, you saw much better, much more serviceable, certainly not worth $109 million worth, but still a much better version of Al Horford. I don't think they're beating the Celtics, that's the bottom line. But if we have an opportunity here to watch the best version of the Sixers without Ben Simmons, Al Horford, I don't think, is going to impose upon that. I think he will be a benefit in this series.
I have a number for Al Horford that I think he has to meet in order to be really, really effective in this series and maybe give the Sixers a chance.
You have a definitive number.
Six.
Six. Six is the number of the shots Al Horford gets a game.
If he gets six or more assists in a game, things are going well for the Sixers. And he's, look at his numbers over, he's certainly capable. And to me, it means that they're doing a good job of spreading him and Joel Embiid, and they're figuring some things out, and they're getting him the ball where he's getting double-teamed at times, and he knows how to pass out of it, and good things are going to happen. If you looked at that offense the other night, Mark, where you and I came away somewhat impressed against Toronto.
Yeah.
First when half. Embiid went out and they put Horford at the five, Toronto still did their basic defensive schemes of doubling down on the ball when it went to the center. When it was Embiid, they did it. When it was Horford, they did it also. Horford passes out of a double really, really well. And the team seems to move better when Horford gets doubled down low than they do when Joel Embiid gets low. Hmm. I think if Horford's on the floor and he's finding his spacing, and look, we've talked about it all year. We wanted that kind of high-low game, that in-out game with Horford and Embiid. If Horford's getting some assists, I think the offense is kind of clicking well in a way that it might give the Sixers a chance to do some damage in this series.
Averaging 4 assists on the season.
He's got to up it. If he gets 6 or more, if the Sixers offense looks really good, look at his assist numbers. I think it's going to tell us something.
Okay, I love that idea. You know why? Because one of the things we never really see with the Sixers is good ball movement. And mm-hmm. if Al Horford's helping you move that ball, then
you're exactly right.
I'm all in. Let's party. So we got the Sixers getting two. And then today, I am very happy to announce that we're going to be, at some point today, we're going to be at Xfinity Live, where the Flyers are hosting.
Right after the show?
Wow, that would be a long day. because the Flyers dropped the puck for Game 2 of their first-round playoff series with the Canadiens. They dropped the puck at 3 o'clock today. We will be at Xfinity Live, enjoying a couple of buckets of beers, right? Yeah, we'll be enjoying that. And we will be watching the Flyers beat the Canadiens today, take a 2-0 series lead. How's that sound? There's going to be people there. We're going to be there. We're going to be part of the watch party. We will be enjoying all the festivities that are the Philadelphia Flyers and their playoff hockey. We will be doing that today. How excited are you for that, Bobby?
I am pumped. Very pumped. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we saw that the Flyers playing 3 on a Friday. And we all pretty much were like, yeah, let's get out and watch the game.
I'm in.
Yeah, I can't wait. Jamie, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Jamie, you got some running around to do, but you'll be there?
I will be there, hopefully on time, to be determined by how my afternoon goes.
You know what? Bring Skyler. I'll bring Emmanuel. We'll be rocking.
I'm excited to watch sports with other people outside in a gathering because I haven't been out much here and there, but not for sports, not that camaraderie again. So it's going to be great.
So I got a little side topic I want to kick around today on a Friday, have some fun about that. But on the Flyers again, 9 o'clock today, we're going to be joined by Tim Saunders, play-by-play man, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, of all things going on with the Flyers. So we'll talk to Tim Saunders about that at 9 o'clock today. But when it comes to this Flyers Flyers team, I'm just excited to watch it overall, regardless of where I am, but I'll be at Xfinity. Carter Hart just continues to dazzle. And I found myself like daydreaming yesterday, especially during the Phillies, especially in the fifth inning, of the saving grace, the breath of fresh air. And that right now is the Philadelphia Flyers. And that right now is Carter Hart. And what was really interesting was yesterday, while Flyers players are being interviewed in kind of their day after press conference, and even guys after the game last night or 2 nights ago, they were asked about Carter Hart. And they all were pretty much hinting that Carter Hart's personality is a little abnormal.
Well, when you see somebody sitting in a stands by themselves and doing what he's doing, I don't perceive that as normal.
When Claude Giroux was asked about Carter Hart yesterday, he was asked, hey, you know, what's he like, basically? And he goes, well, he's a goalie. He's funny. He's a goalie. So, yeah, he's funny. And I don't look at Carter Hart and think he's like, you know, Chuckles the Clown by any means.
No, he's no Kevin Hayes.
But, yeah, and then Shane Gostisbehere got asked about him, and Scott Laughton was up there at the podium with him, or at the dais, whatever you want to call it, and they were just like, hey, what'd you do for his birthday? And they're like, we got him some ice cream. And I'm like, is that because he's 22? He's a baby? Is that why you did it? And it was just like the smirk on Scott Laughton's face when Ghost was being asked about it and answering the question. It was like, they all think Carter Hart is one weird SOB.
But he's their weird SOB.
Yeah, I get it. And their little brother, whatever you want to call it. I'm sure they're poking fun. I mean, I've talked to Flyers players about Scott Laughton when Scott Laughton was just coming up. And they had the same similar kind of smirk, like little brother type of thing about them. But when it came to Carter Hart, he just seems like a weird dude. And it's crazy. That just gave me more confidence in his ability.
Because he's so tunnel focused on goaltending that he can't function outside of it.
He's so outside. Well, but it's like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's like everything he does is a ramp up to just being between the pipes. That's all it is. And you could, because if you see that guy when he's not between the pipes, that's a weird dude. Like, if you've ever hung out with somebody at work, outside of work, you know the work version of themselves. You don't know the work version outside.
Yeah,
you don't know the version. What? Bad Egan.
I'm sorry, did I say that?
Yeah, out loud, you did. Oh. But Carter Hart, I think, is always in net.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right with that. And it seems like the players are, too. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, he's weird as hell, but we want him as our goalie.
Like, Bernie Parent was a weird dude, is a weird dude, but he's a great dude.
Oh, yeah.
Bernie, I've always said, is like one of my favorite people ever in this city. But when you look at it, how he was in his playing career, when you go back at someone like I who didn't get experience it, and it's when it was happening, like, he was just a really interesting dude. Like, the dogs, you know, right, having the dogs all over the place. Like, he was just out there, man. And Carter Hart has a lot of that same stuff, both on the ice and off the ice, it appears.
I was talking to somebody in the national media yesterday who covers hockey, and I brought up the Flyers, and he said something about Carter Hart, and it made me, like, I had a little trepidation. I was like, oh, no. He said, oh, yeah, Carter Hart, man, he's awesome. He stole that first game for the Flyers, you know. And I was like,
stole it?
Stole it. He goes, yeah, they really didn't have any, they probably shouldn't have won that game. He stole the game for him. I was like, and it made me a little nervous because do we want to put that pressure on him now? Like, I hope to God today they get a 6-1, a 5-2, something like that. Some type of win where Carter Hart isn't all we talk about, not all we talk about, but are the main topic of conversation after game two.
I think that that's where it's going to go.
I hope so.
I think what I'll say this. I don't think I won't go so far as to say he stole the game. But he definitely kept him in that game throughout.
And it was like, it rolled off his tongue like that. Oh, yeah, he stole that game.
Yeah, I can't go.
Well, I think the Flyers are the better team. So if the Flyers weren't the better team, if they were the 8 seed, yeah, we probably would say, oh, he stole that game. Being as they're the number one seed, right, Mark? Like, mm-hmm. Think about it. If the Flyers were the 8 seed, it's totally within the realm of possibility we would be saying that Carter Hart stole that game.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, throw the seeds out the window. It's really not a terrible statement that he made.
It's a huge vote of confidence for your goalie.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I just, that particular game.
I think the Flyers are the better team.
Yeah, okay. So we agree as far as that goes. But it was just really wild to hear all the people basically praising him and highlighting different personality traits that he has. So we'll talk about that, obviously, as the show goes on today. I think the Flyers go up 2-0 in this series. I think they win the game tonight, or this afternoon, rather. And then as a fun little side question, have you seen this outdoor concert in the United Kingdom?
I did. Pretty cool.
I hope it's the future of everything.
So do I.
I would prefer concerts to be like that anyway.
Absolutely.
Now, that's the old man in me because, you know, if I'm a younger fella, I'm going to concerts because I'm looking to, you know, make friends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the mosh pit.
Yeah, right. but I've been in a mosh pit. It didn't go well. It was once, but and I was in high school. But anyway, the concert.
You were throwing that fat ass around, weren't you?
Yeah, I was not. It was a rather slender ass, thank you very much, in high school. But when I saw this video come out, I just retweeted it. It's a really interesting setup they have. And we've seen the outdoor comedy concerts. I know a lot of people watched Dave Chappelle a month or so ago, and that was really popular, and people were getting their forehead scanned going into it. But this has pockets of people in little roped off, or excuse me, like almost bike rack formation on risers, and they're all in a row. They're all sitting on chairs, folding chairs within these little platforms is a better way to describe them. And I was thinking, who's going to this? And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, I am absolutely going to this. This is the way to do it.
The problem just becomes the bathroom at that point, but that's another story.
Yeah, Tracy Chapman hits the stage.
Is that who performs?
Who wants to see her little fast car?
Each little platform just have a hole in the ground that you can conveniently Tracy like, just pee in.
Yeah,
Saturday MC International.
There you go.
Down at JFK Stadium. I covered it.
Oh. Who's going to this concert? I just retweeted, if you haven't seen it yet, I think everyone's seen it to this point. Who's going to this concert? And I'm not talking about just now during the pandemic. Like, this seems appealing to me throughout. This seems appealing to me for at least the next year.
It looks cool.
And then also, this week, you're going to have movie theaters open. Excuse me, a week from now, you're going to have movie theaters open again, and people can go to movie theaters.
You have my attention.
Who's Pat, you're the first person I thought of when I saw this news. But who is going to this concert? Who would go to this type of thing? I'm thinking about, you know, what is it, the Susquehanna Bank Center now, the old Tweeter Center over in Camden? Like, this wouldn't be a terrible way to set things up. Who's going to this type of concert? Because I don't know anyone.
It depends on the band, right?
Well, you're going to the concert anyway. It's going to be your favorite band. Who's going to see your favorite band like this? All right, we'll talk about that. We'll let you hear from JT Real Muto because he charged us with a task. That's what we'll talk about when we come back here on 975 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, Bob Cooney here in UFC 252. It's coming up August 15th. And there's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. FanDuel Sportsbook has a special UFC 252 offer for new users. Sign up with my promo code Bob and you'll get exclusive 25-1 odds on Cormier versus Miocic in their title fight at UFC 252. So you can bet either fighter to win, then bet just $5 for a chance to win $125. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for, and then you just lock it in. And once you win, FanDuel Sportsbook gets you your money in as little as 24 hours. Type in FanDuel.com/Bob to claim your exclusive 25-1 odds on Cormier versus Miocic at UFC 252. That's FanDuel.com/Bob. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. New users only. Maximum bonus $125. Minimum $10 deposit required. Restrictions apply. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so JT Real Muto has asked us to help him out here. Now, if you haven't seen what JT Real Muto has been doing so far this season, it's pretty good. He's doing really well for the Phillies, basically. Said seven home runs now on the season.
It took Mookie Betts to hit three last night just to catch JT Real Muto.
he's been pretty damn good at baseball this year, as he has been throughout his entire career. It's rather impressive to see JT Real Muto playing for the Phils, and I'm loving every second of it while watching him play baseball, especially when it comes to how he's doing behind the plate, especially how he was doing with his power numbers this year. He is doing just about everything you could ask a man to do. Right now he is tied for second in baseball right now with seven home runs. Only Fernando Tatis Jr. has more than he, Nick Castellanos, Mookie Betts, Nolan Arenado, by the way, was six on the year. But JT Realmuto is asked by our own Rob Motti about all the Sign JT tweets and promotion that it's been getting. Here is Rob Motti with JT after the game.
JT, how aware are you of the Sign JT people, not just the fans outside making all the noise, because you could hear those, obviously, whether it's on talk radio, social media, whatever it is, it's Sign JT. How aware of that are you?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be aware of it, to be honest with you. They make their voices heard, and I certainly appreciate that. You know, the passion that they have for this team and the backing that they've had for me is obviously greatly appreciated from my end, and I definitely hear it all, so keep it up, guys.
Keep it up, guys.
We're here for you, JT.
Keep it up, guys.
Yeah, there's a little smirk on his face when he said it as well.
As well,
keep it up, guys.
Like, okay, done. We're going to keep it up.
Say less.
Until he's signed, this is the way it's going to be. And here's what's awesome about this. There's one pressing task right now of the Phillies. Because I don't think anyone's looking at him going, oh, this team got to make the playoffs. They have to make the playoffs.
Well, 53% of the teams make the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know, hey, in all honesty, whatever. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, so I'm not going to invest my
unless money. Something drastically improves and David Robertson gets back in like a week, there's no hope.
Yeah, it's not happening. It's not going to happen.
Have you seen the ERA of the bullpen?
Everyone's got an ERA of 10.
Yeah.
It's like the double-digit ERA club of the Philadelphia Phillies.
If it was
bullpen.
A basketball team, it would be a good, like, points per game, like, rundown.
These are all role players that do a hell of a job.
Bunch of Mike Scotts.
But, like, this is the one thing that now people are looking at the Phillies for. I mean, other than fill time between Flyers and Sixers games right now, that's what they're looking at the Phillies for. Sign JT. Make sure we got this guy locked up for next year when more people are going to have eyes on a baseball season. Let's make sure we can do that. Let's make sure we have him around. And leave it to the Philadelphia sports fan to be that specific about a rooting interest of a team. Think about that.
Yeah. 14 games in, and your biggest rooting interest is signing a catcher, which is off the field, obviously, and to see how your two young prospects are going to fare.
Yeah, and you know what else it is? It's seeing how many fans show up outside the stadium. How incredible is that?
They're awesome. Those guys are awesome, but I have a little, like, ever since they started showing up, the Phillies aren't doing well.
Well,
I hate to say, keep showing up. And here's another thing, and this was kind of brought to my attention last night. I turned on the Phillies game, and I was like, do they ever play away?
No, they're always home.
They've played 12 of their 14 games at home, and they're still dog crap.
This is all true.
Maybe they're the opposite of the Sixers. Maybe they'll go on the road and be an unbelievable road team. I don't know.
Yeah.
But home isn't getting it done for them.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. And as far as like the Fandemic crew goes that is out there cheering for the Phillies and all that, like, yeah, the Phillies haven't been doing well at all this year. I mean, just think about that.
God bless the Fandemic crew.
I love that story.
That is so neat.
But think about this. JT Realmuto knows that this is going to only help his cause. So all this pressure that fans, us, pretty much, Bryce Harper, all this pressure that those three entities are putting on the Phillies, Matt Klentak, John Middleton. Because, look, there's no doubt John Middleton wants him back here. I don't think there's a lot of doubt that Matt Klentak wants him back here. You got to get creative at some point, and you got to get this deal done. Because guess what? The price is only going to go up. 7 home runs so far this season, batting just under 300. Hell of a catcher behind the plate, best in baseball. Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and want him to stick around here for the foreseeable future. So why not get that deal done? And if you look around the league, for instance, again, Mookie Betts, and you see how creative the Dodgers got, why can't Matt Klentak get that creative as well and get a deal done?
And look, as much time as Bryce Harper has invested in letting it be known he wants JT Realmuto here, from wearing the jersey at workouts when everything started up to doing the signing the check in inter-squad games to doing it last night, do you really want to put him in a bad mental frame of mind by not signing Realmuto, by not letting it be known to Bryce Harper that, yeah, we're in it to win it? Because you don't sign Realmuto, that says a lot to Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. Should I have come here? Do you really want to win? What the hell's going on here? Am I just playing out for the money? What am I doing?
I don't know. By the way,
does it look like stupid money to you?
Now, this would actually be wise money. This would be smart money.
Yeah.
Because you are getting the best player at his position and the best guy. Like, if you're going to bring up young arms like Spencer Howard, and you're going to have young arms in the bullpen as well, inexperienced arms in the bullpen, don't you want to have the best catcher behind the plate to you know, for them? Don't you want that?
So.
And then also, don't you want a pretty damn good baseball bat in the lineup that'll help you with that run support? I think you're going to want that just a little bit, considering the only games you can win are games where you score 12 runs.
And with so many youngsters, like you said, and now Bohm's up, and Spencer Howard, and a whole bunch of bullpen guys, don't you want that natural leader on the team? Because to me, there seems to be no better of a natural leader on this team than JT Realmuto. Mm-hmm. He commands with a look. I'm not kidding. Like, yeah. I think he can just look at a player, and the player's like, "Oh, I got to straighten up. I got to do better." Mm. Like, he has that. He's garnered that, you know, respect where he can just look at somebody. His few words mean a lot in that clubhouse, I believe.
JT Realmuto wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, you can read that face. Like the famous gif of him like shaking his head, like, "What the hell's going on here?"
Yeah.
Like, that's him. Like, yeah, you can see how he feels.
Who was that guy last year? Hughes.
The guy who ran in from... Yeah, he played for the Reds for a long time. I think it is Hughes, right?
I'd love him back.
That's the one. At least he had gusto. At least you didn't have to wait for someone to suck.
Yeah.
He ran in and just got it done. He just started pitching. Just started throwing.
Just anybody that's a major league caliber player.
And I know one of the questions that has popped up, and even when I was tweeting about him last night, and I joined everyone else in tweeting, you know, sign him and all that stuff, and if you're JT Realmuto and you're looking around the way things are done here in Philadelphia, especially with ignoring the bullpen, why would you want to play here?
Why
would you want that?
The only thing this has solidified is that JT Realmuto is going to listen to a whole bunch of people when the season's over.
Look, I have my confidence in JT Realmuto remaining with the Phillies as much as I want it to happen. My percentage of confidence has only taken hits since the season started. I mean, you look at the arbitration hearing and he doesn't get $2.4 million. All right, that doesn't look good, but that's happened before with plenty of people. That's business, right? Then Mookie Betts signs. And my confidence went from about, 80% sure that he's going to be back and went down to about 75. After this, and watching JT Realmuto continue to just play well, and then hearing Matt Klentak, or hearing the news come out earlier in the week, Jamie, that you highlighted earlier, which was he's not going to discuss the contract in season. Yeah, sure he's not. But
that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Just hearing that, though, that's his mindset. That's more playing hard to get. That's another obstacle to get over. Like, my confidence is around 65% that he's going to be back with his baseball club. Because what if Bryce Harper is the one guy they're willing to look at right now and say, oh yeah, obviously he's a guy we'll spend money on. What if that's the one guy that they're willing to invest money in, and JT Realmuto is not on that list?
Well, then they're not going to win.
Obviously.
I mean, what did you bring them here for then? Why did you bring in Bryce Harper if you're not going to surround them with winners?
See, their back's against the wall. They have to do it, but I don't... Like, they have to do it would be the obvious move for any team. I don't think this team is... Like, the obvious move seems difficult for them, and that's a bad thing.
I think they're just waiting, and I'm not justifying it, but this is how I see it. I still think it's dumb. I think they're waiting for Arrieta's money to get off the books so that they don't have to go over the luxury tax and can sign him to a long-term deal. That's their reasoning, I believe, behind closed doors. But nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody just wants this guy here. Like, I'm still 80% that they sign him. But it's incredibly frustrating.
If that was the case, Jamie, and that's a good point, but if that was the case, I would hope to God they made it known to his agent, made it known to Real Muto also.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem like they're even talking.
And it doesn't, yeah, because they've come out and said that in the way Real Muto... I haven't come out and heard him say, oh, I'm confident I'm going to be back.
Yeah, no.
You know, so...
It's not handled well, but that's the reason why.
By the way, JT Real Muto, tied for third in Major League Baseball right now with home runs, not the National League. Excuse me. Aaron Judge has 9. Mike Trout has 8, as does Fernando Tatis.
Trout's on fire, yeah, man. Ever since he had a kid.
Yeah, he left like 5 days and he's still second in Major League Baseball.
Dad strength.
Yeah, it really is.
So some other things that they got into yesterday when Matt Klentak addressed the media was also Rhys Hoskins. And this was before the game. And Rhys got the day off yesterday. He's, as we all know, he's been struggling. 2 days ago, he grounded in the 3 double plays, which we did talk about. But it's weird. When I mentioned this, I felt more confident. Hearing Matt Klentak talk about Rhys Hoskins' struggles makes me feel like these struggles are going to last a lot longer than I thought. Here is Matt Klentak on Philly's first baseman, Rhys Hoskins.
It's not reflected in his season batting line yet, but I've been pretty encouraged by his at-bats in the last week. I mean, he's been running a strong walk rate from the beginning, as you guys know, and that's something he's done throughout his professional career. But I think his at-bats seem to indicate that he's more on time now than he had been previously. I know he hasn't went into the seats yet. I know yesterday he did something that was pretty uncharacteristic for him and hitting 3 balls on the ground in a single game. I think amongst that, you're starting to see some really good on-time swings from him, and his swing decisions are still good. You know, he's taking balls and swinging at strikes for the most part. So I think as he continues to just gain more reps and stay on time, I think we're going to start seeing more results from him.
Could you imagine being John Middleton? Could you imagine being really anybody else in the Phillies front office? And you go to Matt Klentak and you're like, hey, Matt, you know, what's the deal with Rhys? And Matt Klentak's response is he's having more on-time swings. Is there a more grasping at straws explanation or defense of a player than he's having more on-time swings? When he says Rhys Hoskins is having more on-time swings, and he is also saying that Rhys Hoskins, when he steps in the batter's box, did something uncharacteristic 2 days ago where he grounded in 3 double plays. No, what's uncharacteristic is that he swung the bat 3 times in a game. Like, that's more what's uncharacteristic.
He said he's taking a lot of balls, and you know, and his swings. He's also taking a lot of strikes. Basically, he's not swinging the bat. And when he did the other night, as you said, Mark, 3 double plays?
Yeah.
When he, what did he bring up? What did you say again? Swing?
On-time swings.
I swear to God, when you said it, I closed my eyes and I saw Larry Boa take his hand and smash it against his face and say, what the hell are we talking about here?
All right. I have been on the, I'll admit it, defense of Rhys Hoskins. I have been defending the man. Agreeing with Matt Klentak does not help my argument, does not help my stance, and Matt Klentak, the GM of the Phillies, by the way, also has not helped my stance. And here's something else that I thought of yesterday with Scott Kingery getting the day off, right? When you hear Matt Klentak describe Scott Kingery's game, he talks about patience. And I thought about this. Who's the guy they've invested more in? And ultimately, what talks?
Oh, yeah.
Money talks.
Kingery. Is uncharacteristic of anything they've ever done throughout their history.
Kingery is the guy they've invested in 1,000 times more so than Rhys Hoskins. And Rhys Hoskins, as a professional baseball player, has showed you a hell of a lot more than Scott Kingery.
Yeah.
They look at Rhys Hoskins and they think, question mark. What do we have in him? We know what we at least thought we knew what we had in Scott Kingery. I mean, this was a guy that, as a second baseman, was hitting like 26 home runs in the minor leagues. Reese Hoskins was hitting like 40 home runs in the minor leagues. And they looked at him and said, oh, when he comes up and he got off to the tremendous start that he got off to, much better than Scott Kingery, did they reward Reese Hoskins with some, you know, lucrative deal? Even some, I don't know, financially securing deal like they did with Scott Kingery to the tune of about $9 million per year to the tune of what could be about a 9-year deal? No, with club options, that deal could be 9 years.
Yeah.
Reese Hoskins got squat-ta. So when you're looking at Reese and you're trying to give you a vote of confidence or give fans a vote of confidence, yeah, it ain't going to happen because you already gave that to Scott Kingery. So it shows that you trust one player a hell of a lot more than you do the other.
Yeah, you know.
On time swings, Bob.
Reese Hoskins is a guy that, this isn't going to happen, but imagine if they put him down to AAA and said, look, you got to go find your swing. He needs to... He's that close to maybe not getting back to the majors. You know, Reese Hoskins, as much as the expectations, and Jamie put it perfectly, and he was right, that this season, a lot of it relies on Reese Hoskins. I think, Jamie, you said he's the most important player to this team going into this year.
I've said it for two straight years.
Yeah, if they're going to be successful, you're not going to do it because you still have those expectations and hope that he can break out of this. But he is like a hair away from maybe not being a major league player anymore.
Well, they do love...
If they had the guts, and I'm not saying they should do this, but if it's at some point he's 180 in the middle of the season again, if you had the guts to say, you know what, dude, you need to go down and find your swing and we're going to give him that time, and he never does, he got ruined. Like, I think he got ruined by Gabe Kapler and launch angles and all that stuff. And I don't know if, I hope to God he does, but I don't know if he's going to find it again.
I am not going to say that Reese Hoskins is just flat out ruined yet. I'm not making that prediction.
I see no confidence coming from him or his body language.
But with this lineup, what are you going to do?
Put Alec Bohm at first, because then at least you can have Segura and Gosselin play third.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how long you can live with that.
Oh, my God.
I knew Gosselin's name was going to get mentioned. I'm not there. I'm still, because I'm not taking, the guy's got a 400 on base percentage, and I'm not the guy to bang the drum for on base percentage.
But
when it comes to everybody else not being able to get on base also, I'm not going to take that away in the two hole.
You can't have a two hole hitting below the Mendoza line.
Yeah, then you can drop him down in the order. I can't have. Hey, Phil Gosselin, let's make a career.
I mean, Phil Gosselin at least has contributed this year.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's a great solution. I'm saying it might be the better solution.
Just do what I do. Just chalk up this season as one. It doesn't count anyway.
But Segura would be playing 5 days a week.
I mean,
Gosselin would just be like the day off guy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still not that big a fan of Segura.
It's not like you're losing Hoskins' stellar defense at first base.
I get you.
I mean, what I saw from Bohm last night was a guy with confidence in that box.
Mm-hmm.
And that was aggressive and that attacked a baseball. I haven't seen that from Hoskins in like a year.
All right, so
I don't remember the last time I saw Reese Hoskins hit a home run.
It was September 12th or 19th last year.
Remember when he was must-watch TV?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he came up and it was like, oh, Hoskins is up, got to get to the TV. He hasn't hit a long fly ball.
I remember that, fun 2 weeks we had on the start of his career. Yeah.
It's amazing how much he's dipped.
Yeah, I think he's coming out of it.
I know you are.
I'm dead serious. I think he's coming out of it.
All-time swings?
Is that what he's he was starting to hit the ball hard when he did swing the bat, but... Mm. And I think the thought is, okay, his on-base percentage is so good now that he's not going to hit under the Mendoza line the entire season. So when he ups the batting average, your on-base percentage is only going to go up.
Last year he got, what, to 212?
What, he was, batting average?
He was 180 in the second half of the season.
229.
Last year,
right? 229. Yeah. This year he's going to hit 250. How about that?
I'll take that. I'll double or nothing you.
You'll double or nothing me. What, two beers for the Carter Hart bet?
There ain't no chance he's hitting over 250.
Look at this guy. Mr. Pessimism. Yeah, again, 2 days in a row, I'm the bastion of optimism.
I'll bet you $2 on that.
All right.
You got two bits going?
How about
right
175? Had a very successful night last night.
Yeah, he did. He texted me and
said...
Oh,
did you win your hockey game there, Patty?
Oh, no, I was talking about that. We did win
a
hockey
game. He hit a 75-cent parlay.
We did. No, I'll tell you what I did, and this is easy money, and I texted Bob this. As soon as the relievers come in for the Phillies, I smash whatever the other team's over is. For the team total.
Oh, that's a good idea.
He couldn't get me the text quick enough last night. I think Vinny was walking in from the bullpen and Pat's easy money.
I had like $330 left in my bank account and I put it all on the Orioles over. Think about where we've come.
What, like $3.30?
Yeah.
Went real big. Hey, you want to win big, you got to bet big, baby.
That's right.
That's how that works. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, Philadelphia Flyers drop the puck tonight north of the border in Toronto. We're going to do some fun Flyers conversation and also a little bit more on what some of those players were saying about their netminder after the game. Time of the Fanatic is 6:52.
The hits literally keep on coming from one MMA event to the next. They grow in excitement and anticipation, and we're just a day away. UFC 252 is no different, with two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping into the octagon this weekend. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all new users the opportunity to bet $1 to win $252. Those are some great odds. All new users have the chance to turn $1 into $252 when placing a bet on the big fight this weekend. Head to the app right now and check out all they have to offer. You can get in on fighter props, round-by-round betting, and so much more. Plus, the basketball playoffs are literally right around the corner, and DraftKings Sportsbook is offering $10 in free bets to use on in-game action for every day of the first round of the playoffs. You got to take advantage of that. Plus, DraftKings is a safe, secure, and reliable betting app. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code FANATIC when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can bet $1 to win $252 on this weekend's main event. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out for new users by offering them the chance to win $252 when placing a bet of $1 on this weekend's big fight using code FANATIC. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.